Amen.
We certainly are thankful again tonight that the God of our being has saw fit to give us another day. I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, realize that we very well could not have been here, but God saw fit to give us another day. And for this, we ought to be eternally grateful. Again, we are thankful to the minister and to the elders and the members of this congregation for the invitation to be here and to share our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. To all of our fellow comrades in the gospel, it's always a blessing to have preachers in our midst to encourage us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. To those of you who may be visiting, who may not necessarily share in our beliefs, we want you to know that you are honored and esteemed guests, and we welcome you here each and every opportunity that you may have to be in our audience. We encourage you to get your Bibles and to study along with us that you may know whether or not you have eternal life. In the book of John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And so we want to encourage you tonight to search the scriptures, investigate the things that we're going to share, that you may know whether or not these things are true. If you find them to be true, having not surrendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to extend what is called an invitation song. And when that song is being sung, we are inviting you to come to Jesus Christ. We're not inviting you to come to the preacher. We're inviting you to come to Jesus Christ and to make that noble confession that you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and based upon that, be baptized for remission of your sin. We want to encourage you to mark your hymn book. The invitation hymn would be 78, not 478. The invitation song would be 78, not 478. Now I want to invite your attention this evening to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 10 through 12. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and beginning at verse number 10. The Bible says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I want to speak from the subject this evening: inquiring minds want to know.
Yes, sir.
Inquiring minds want to know. The National Enquirer has been, in time past, one of the most recognized publications you could find on our newsstands. The National Enquirer is known for publishing the latest dirt that could be found on the rich and the famous. This tabloid tells the most sensational news stories, all on the basis of inquiring minds desiring to know the lifestyle of the rich and the famous. However, this evening, I stand to tell you about a greater publication. Is greater than the National Enquirer because it's better known as God's publication. In the book of Psalm 68 and verse number 11, the psalmist said, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." The word "publish" comes from the Hebrew word basa, meaning to announce, glad news, a messenger. It means to preach. It means to publish, to show forth or to tell good tidings. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning at verse 15, when Paul was writing to the young man Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul said, "In that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it profiteth for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work." Before God published his word in written form, he spoke through the prophets and the apostles. But we have God's written publication. We have the written word of God. And if you're going to know the will of God for your life, you're going to need an inquiring mind, a mind that's willing to search out the things pertaining to life and godliness. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and beginning at verse number 3, listen to what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now get what Paul tell us, that in time past, in other dispensations of time, God dealt with men in different ways. But now Paul makes it known that God has revealed unto him his will. And he said, wherefore, I have written it down in a few words. If you're going to understand God's will, you're going to have to read the will of God. When we look into God's word, we need to have an inquiring mind, especially if we expect to know the answer to the question of salvation. I've told people on many occasions that God never gave us the Bible to satisfy our curiosities. He never gave us the Bible for us to speculate. He gave us the Bible that we may come to know the Redeemer of our soul, that we may come to understand what it means to be saved by the blood of the Lamb. The word inquiring means to examine. See, I want to encourage you tonight to get your Bibles and examine, to seek out. It is a process that is to be used to seek information, to ask questions, to carry out an examination or an investigation. In the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 11, notice what Jesus told his disciples. In the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 11, Jesus says this to his disciple. He said, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who is it, who is in it, is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. Now Jesus said to his disciple, he instructed them about what to look for before they entered into a house. Before they went into the house, they were instructed to investigate, to see if they were worthy. But in order for them to find this out, they had to inquire. They had to investigate or to examine those within to see if those on the inside was worthy or not for them to enter. In the book of Acts chapter 19 and verse number 39, I'm just trying to set it up to see whether or not you truly have an inquiring mind tonight. In the book of Acts chapter 19 and verse 39, the Bible said, but if ye inquire anything concerning other matter, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. This word inquire, in our original text, it means to search out. And if you desire to be saved tonight, if you desire to grow in your relationship with God, you must be willing to seek it out. Examine God's word. Seek information. Ask some questions or investigate, because you have an inquiring mind. See, we don't mind having you to ask us a Bible question that pertains to your soul salvation. We're living in a time when nobody wants to say nothing to nobody when it comes to what they teach and what they say concerning things
religion, but I have an inquiring mind. You can't just run things by me without me raising some questions and without me going and getting my Bible and investigating. Every time a preacher get up and preach, I like to pull out my Bible and search in behind them, investigate what they're saying to make sure that it's from the Word of God. And I'm just suggesting to you tonight that you ought to have enough concern for your own soul that you have an inquiring mind. And don't go ask mama them. Don't go ask your friend. But get your Bible and search it out for yourself. Because if it's in the Word of God, it will be found. If it's in the book, but too many folk, they take what other folk tell them, and they take it as though it's in the Bible. But I want to say to you tonight, take some time and investigate. Take some time and examine. Take some time and see whether or not what I'm saying is true. And if you have an inquiring mind, you will do exactly that because you want to know whether or not what I'm telling you is found in the Word of God. Let's see if you have an inquiring mind. Then I want you to look at three things tonight to see whether or not you have an inquiring mind, whether you got an investigative mind, and whether or not you're willing to examine the scripture. Number one, if you will follow me closely and you got an inquiring mind, you should want to know who is the Savior. Number two, if you have an inquiring mind, you should want to know where are the saved. If you have an inquiring mind, number three, you should want to know when did the saved get saved. You should want to know the answer to all of those questions. If you're not willing to search out, to examine, to seek out information about these matters, then I must conclude you don't have an inquiring mind, because those with an inquiring mind desire to know these things. Since all of us need a Savior, then every one of us ought to be interested tonight in who is the Savior. Every one of us should want to know who is qualified to save me. You should want to know, if I know who can save me, then how can I be saved? And if I know how to be saved, then where are the saved in the midst of all of these religious people in the world? In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. Listen what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 9. Peter simply says, then receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. When you go back and look in many of the Old Testament prophecies, such as in the book of Isaiah, you will find that many times God gave those prophets a little piece of what they were to tell about the future. No one prophet had it all, but they were searching and they was inquiring, trying to find out about this salvation, but it would never give it to just one. And when God got through giving it to the prophets in the Old Testament, he finally brought it all together in the New Testament so that you and I could go back and read what he gave them and come forward and look at how God's plan unfolded concerning this salvation. God has provided salvation through Jesus Christ, but too many people have never taken the time to search it out. One of the first things I like to know is what a person has been taught. It was just a few months ago, we were having a special day, like Family and Friends Day. A woman walked out and walked down to the front of the building, and I went to her and I asked her what was her purpose. She said, I'm down here to do whatever you want me to do. And I said to her, have anybody ever talked to you about this salvation? She said, no. I said, well, ma'am, if you don't mind, I'd like to let you see what's in the Bible before we just carry you back and baptize you. I told her that Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 19, Jesus said, go teach and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I said our first responsibility is to teach the word of God. So we took the time to teach her, and then she acted on the teaching and were baptized in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. You remember Paul was in the city of Thessalonica and there was an uproar. And you remember they ran Paul out of that area. But then the Bible said in Acts 17 and verse 11, and these were more noble than they of Thessalonica, in that they received the word. And in receiving the word of God, he said they were more noble than they of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with meekness. And they searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not these things were so. That's all I'm telling you tonight, is to get your Bible and see whether or not these things are so. Because you should want to know who is the Savior. You remember in Acts chapter 8, there was a man that the Bible calls a eunuch. He was over the treasurer of the queen. And you remember how he was returning from Jerusalem and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And you remember the Spirit of the Lord told Philip to go and to get together with this man in the chariot. But I want you to see that he had an inquiring mind. I know he had an inquiring mind. He level worship and was still reading his Bible. It's difficult today to get church folk to bring their Bibles. Let's not leave church reading their Bible. It's difficult today to get members to open up their Bible. So I'm saying to you tonight that this man had an inquiring mind. He was leaving worship and reading his Bible. And the Bible says in verse 28, the Bible says in Acts 8 and verse number 28, he was running, returning, and sitting in his chariot. Read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip came thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And noting, the Bible said, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, in his judgment, was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, listen at him in choir, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? This eunuch was reading about a man. He didn't know who this man was, but he knew he was a man that was going to his death, and he wanted to know who was the prophet speaking of himself or some other man. And the Bible said he began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He began at that same place. And you know the rest of the story, that the eunuch saw some water and he wanted to be baptized, and he was baptized, all because in his search he found the one he was looking for. He found Jesus Christ. And you too need to know that Jesus Christ is the only somebody that's qualified to save your soul. See, you got to have an inquiring mind. See, a person with an inquiring mind will search out the Savior. They won't just take somebody else's word for it. They won't take hearsay for it. But they will investigate it for themselves. You remember Jesus met the woman at Jacob's well in John chapter 4. You remember how Jesus told her to give him a drink. And she wanted to know from Jesus, how is it that you, being a Jew, going to ask me for a drink of water? But Jesus kept on talking to her. Next thing you know, they're talking about worship. And then from worship, Jesus started talking about her personal life. But then in John 4 and verse 42, notice what the Bible said. The Bible says in verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. When they went and talked to Jesus, they found out just exactly who the Savior was. The only way you can know the Savior is that you got to know the scripture. Only way you can know the Savior, you got to know the word of God. Some people seem to think a person can know the Lord separate and apart from the Bible. But if you don't know the Bible, then you can't know the Savior. In John 7 and verse number 38, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I admonish you tonight, don't take what other people are saying. Take what the scripture says about Jesus. What does the scripture say in 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 3 and 4? Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture, and that he was buried and rose again according to the scripture. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 14, this is what John said. In 1 John 4 and verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So if you're looking for who is the Savior, Jesus Christ is the Savior. Many people accept Jesus as Savior. I hear it on the television. I hear it on the radio. I hear it out of the mouths of other people. But if Christ is the Savior, and make no mistake about it, then you need to understand, if Christ is the Savior, then where does the Savior put the saved? See, first of all, if you got an inquiring mind, you want to know who is it that's able to save me. But number two, you need to understand where the Savior has placed or put the saved. As I indicated on yesterday, if you and I decide to save something, you at least got to have somewhere to save it. If you decide that you're going to save your money in Bank of America, that's your designated place. If you decide you're going to save your money at Regions Bank, that's your designated place. If you decide you're going to save your money at Trustmark or whatever institution that you decided to save your money, since it's your money, then you have the right to decide where are you going to save your money. And I'm suggesting to you tonight that since Christ is the Savior, since he's the one that's qualified to save your soul, he also has the right to save us where he wants to save us. I do not believe that you can be saved any way you want to be saved. I believe the Lord has a specific place for the saved. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, Listen what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. He said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Now listen to what he said. Christ is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. In Ephesians 4 and verse 4, the Bible said, there is one body. Now listen to this real carefully. In Ephesians 5, 23, he said that Christ is the head of the church and he's the Savior of the body. Whatever the body is, he's the Savior of the body. And the book said there's only one body. Whatever that body is, he's the Savior of the body. Whatever that body is, there's only one body. If I can find what that body is and know what he's the Savior of, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 24, listen to Paul in Colossians 1, 24, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. It is the church, is the body, and the body is the church. Christ has earned the right to put the saved in his church, which is his body. The body is the church, and the church is the body. Christ has earned the right to put the saved in his church, and every inquiring mind should desire to know then that Christ is the Savior of the body, and the body is the church. Acts 2 and verse 47, the Bible said, praising God and having favor with all of the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When people were saved in the Bible, they was added to the church by the Lord, because the Lord is the Savior of the body, which is the church. And if you have an inquiring mind tonight, you should not only want to know who is the Savior, and you should not only want to know where are the saved, but then finally, you ought to want to know, when did the saved get saved? You know, it blows my mind that there are still many, many people all over this land who are being taught that they're saved before they're baptized. I baptized a man about 2 weeks ago. He had never been baptized in his life, but he was claiming to be saved. He was claiming to be saved, all on the basis that he had asked Jesus to come into his heart and be his personal Savior. But when did the saved get saved in the Bible? On the day of Pentecost, after Peter had stood up and preached that gospel sermon, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now notice the question. They'd already been told that they had put to death the Son of God and how they had buried him, but God raised him from the dead. And when they heard this, they wanted to know, what shall they do? They already knew that they had put to death the Son of God. They already acknowledged that they had crucified and put to death the Son of God. Peter said unto them in verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you, that is to those he was talking to. And then he said, to your children and to all that are far, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many of the word did he testify and said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now when did the saved get saved? The saved got saved. Every one of them that was saved got saved when they heard how Jesus died and was buried and rose again. When they decided to believe that message, when they decided that they were going to repent of their sin and be baptized for the remission of their sin, the Bible says, then they that gladly received this word were baptized. And in verse 47, the Bible tells us when they got saved, praising God and having favor with all of the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When did the saved get saved? They got saved when they obeyed the word of God and they were baptized for the remission of their sin. Not before. The same gentleman I told you I baptized a couple of weeks ago, I showed him Mark chapter 16. My wife and I have been studying with him for several weeks. I showed him Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, where Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He believeth not shall be damned. And I asked him, I said, sir, because he could read, I said, read that verse. And I said, when you read that verse, did Jesus say you would be saved before or after you baptized? He said, after. I said, now you told me that you have been saved and you've never been baptized. Are you sure you are saved? If Jesus said you are saved when you baptize, how can you be saved without even being baptized? And the man said, preacher, I want to be baptized. See, all it takes is an honest heart. All it takes is somebody being honest with themselves. And all it takes is having an inquiring mind. enough to want to know who the Savior is. There's only one person qualified to save you, and that's Jesus. He's the one that went to Calvary. He's the one that was buried and rose again. He died for your sin. The question is whether or not you believe it. The question is whether or not you believe it. There's a lot of skepticism in the world today. It's amazing to me that the world is still attacking Jesus. But the Bible is still right. The Bible is still right. You may be here tonight and you need to be saved. Now that you know who the Savior is, the next thing is whether or not you're willing to become a part of the saved. See, whenever you become a part of the saved, then you get in the church that Jesus died for. Jesus is the one that said in Matthew 16:18, I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. You ought to come to Jesus tonight by believing what the word of God says. Jesus said, I said unto you, except you believe that I'm he, you should die in your sin, John 8:24. You got to be willing to change. Every instance in the Bible, whether it is specifically stated or whether it is implied or whether it is demonstrated, every person or every group of people that was saved in the Bible, they repented of their sins. They had to turn away from something. Now, I don't know what it is tonight that you need to turn away from. It may be man-made religion. It may be some type of lifestyle. Whatever it is that you know is wrong, you got to repent. You got to be willing to turn away from it. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering upward toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then based upon that, you got to be willing to make that noble confession. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And whenever you accept what God has done on your behalf through Jesus, and you're baptized, Jesus already told you in Mark 16:16, you can be saved. Peter confirms that in 1 Peter 3:21 when he said the like figure one to baptism does also now save us. Not to put away the filth of the flesh, but then answer with a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he'll become a member of the Lord's church. Are you here tonight and you need to become a Christian? What kind of mind do you have? Do you have an inquiring mind? The eunuch had one. You see, some people are like the woman at the well. Jesus had to help develop her to have an inquiring mind. At first, she was not interested in anything Jesus had to say. But the longer Jesus talked to her, and Jesus said, when Jesus said to that woman, said, if you knew who it was that asked you a drink of water, you would ask of him. She said, Lord, give me of this water. And that's when Jesus got personal and said, look, go get your old man. Go get your husband. She said, I ain't got one. See, Jesus will get real personal with you. And see, if you're going to ever get your life together, you're going to have to get personal with the Lord. Because you cannot be what God would have you to be, trying to fool somebody who already know you. You need to come to Jesus tonight. You ever notice how throughout the Bible, like in Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 16, and those very places, people always ask questions. Paul said, what will you have me to do? Cornelius was told, listen, you send for Peter, it'll be told you what you're going to need to do. The Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Everybody, listen, when you have an inquiring mind, you're going to have some questions. But the Bible will answer your question if you'll come to Jesus tonight. All things have been made ready. The clothing is ready. The question is whether you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ. You may be here tonight and you're a member of the Lord's church. And you have gotten off track. You can get back on track tonight. You can get back on track tonight by rededicating your life to Jesus. Will you come to him as together we stand and sing, the Lord bids you to come.